Hello and welcome to Bird's Eye View, the number one source of information for everything about Saints gaming, where you can get a look behind the scenes, stay up to date with all of our matches, and basically keep up with everything that goes on here at St. Clair's esports program. I'm here with my hosts.
Daniel Jobin, super excited to be here with you guys and bring you guys this show. I've been off for a little while, but super stoked to get back into it and give you guys some great highlights and recaps.
I'm Zachary Bailable Schreier. I play for the Overwatch team, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so let's get it started. You want to start us off?
Yeah, let's get it started. So, okay, so we had the Fortnite boys. Not a super crazy week as far as action. We had the NACE Fall Cup Duos Tournament. The varsity team, we had Siri and Vexy coming in sixth place, having a really strong showing. They had really strong rotations. They had super good gunplay. And obviously with Fortnite, you need a little bit of that RNG. They're able to get some good loot, some good drop spots. And I was able to help them get a really good spot and push up and get a finish with a really good placing.
Yeah.
Then we had the club teams. We had Black and Green. Black consisting of Ethan and Koopa. They finished ninth place. A little bit decent showing. That said, they would have liked to have had a couple better beginnings. Struggled a little bit with some of the late game, some of the build fighting and stuff. But those are things, again, with a battle royale, there's things that you just can't take into account all the time. So it's just something you out of your control. Well,
and that's really what you look for in these players, right? Like, it's the people who can find the ways to still get consistent performances when it is such an RNG-based game. Like, it's managing to, like, fight through the RNG almost and still come out on top. And that's what you see, like, especially, like, someone like Sirius a lot. Like, he just manages to, like, find these great performances so much. It's really great to see.
Yeah, and that's what can make Fortnite so tricky. You can have the best day of your life, and if you're getting gray ARs and you're not able to get a good drop spot, or it's getting stuff, like, there's a lot that can be taken out of your hands. A lot of power can be taken away from you. It's not like the other games where you can have more of a team setup and it's more structured. Fortnite is kind of what every single game, once you drop in, is brand new.
Yeah.
There's no consistency besides all the mechanics in the map, but there's no consistency as far as drops, who's going to land there, who's going to try to use what guns or what the play is. And that's it. And the last team we had was the club. There was a green team as well. We had G Money and Jay finishing in 11th place. Not too bad. Obviously, they're going to look to try to move that up a little bit. But again, that's like all teams having a really strong showing. Top 15 finishes for duels, which is really strong. You're in the top percentage of the bracket. Obviously, the boys are going to be looking for a little stronger. You want to try to get that first and second place just to make sure you stay ahead in the standings. But good showing for the boys to start off the season. And it looks like they're going to try to keep that momentum riding.
For sure, yeah. Definitely, like, keep an eye on these club teams, right? Like, you know, we have the club teams as, like, our feeder system for our actual varsity teams, right? So, like, you know, these club players right now, they're starting to get up there. They're starting to improve, getting better performances up on the board. And, you know, come this time next year, we might be seeing them actually on the varsity team. So, you know, we pay attention to those.
Yeah, we see the experience with Ceres and Vexy especially. But, yeah, see, these club guys, keep an eye out for them. They're already having somewhat strong finishes, and they're just getting started in Fortnite. These guys have all the time in the world to watch varsity and shadow and learn and grow. I would expect nothing but consistently good performances moving forward.
Yeah. Another thing we have to remember is, like, Fortnite as a game is interesting because it always changes, right? Like, yeah. Epic as a developer, they're always putting out these huge updates that change the map. They change, like, sometimes very integral aspects of the gameplay with, like, new features and things that is, like, really inventive and is really, like, pushing the envelope, right? And that, like, a lot of things that you see in, like, these young players, these people on the club teams, is, like, they're very good at being able to adapt to that quickly. And so that could be something that we really see helping them in the long run.
Yeah, so when you're fighting against other players and the game while it's still in development and getting changed, it's just a lot to take in. So the fact that guys are able to at least get a good head on their shoulders to start and have a good base block, that's a really good to see.
Yeah, for sure.
And even then, like, you mentioned, like, the map changing and whatnot, but even, like, the guns themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like, we see, like, every single big update, there's new guns that are coming in, old guns are being shipped out.
Yeah.
Right, so, like, if you're really good at one gun and the next update it's gone, like,
yeah,
you have to adapt, right? You have to learn how to use more than one.
Well, and that in and of itself is a testament to just how good, like, our players are right now on the varsity team. Like, they're able to take all these updates, they're able to constantly figure out what's good, what they need to do, and how to stay at the top of their game throughout all of this. You know, it's impressive. It's nothing short of
amazing. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to see how the guys move going forward in the NACE and the NACC moving forward.
For sure, for sure. All right, moving on. We're talking about Rainbow Six next. We didn't have any games happening in the past week, but we did actually just finish our run in CR6. We ended up placing top 16 there. Our team ended up getting eliminated by Illinois State, but if you watched the match, it was an absolutely incredible match. And if you didn't watch the match, I would definitely recommend going and checking it out. There were a bunch of incredible moments. I know one moment that really stood out to me is when Rapid was trying to get a last-minute defuse. It was a 1v1 last-minute type thing, right? And Rapid, he's trying to get the defuse there on the bomb. And meanwhile, ISU, they had one player alive. He's just searching through. And he actually ended up finding Rapid going for the bomb. But there was a big flash that came out. and wrap it through the smoke, through the fire and the flames almost, like just deftly manages to avoid every single bullet, gets the defuse off, and pulls out an insane clutch to keep St. Clair alive in the series. It was incredible to see.
Yeah, and think, let's see, moments like that, only Rainbow Six is one of the only games where you can create that tension as the bomb's ticking down, seconds are waning, and utilities coming in, and you're getting, especially with the ability to get one tap through any wall at any time,
yeah.
You literally have to watch every single direction to be able to keep your head composed and deal with all that going on after being in that situation and then still coming out and clutching is just awesome.
Yeah, any stray bullet there, it would have ended St. Clair's run early. And honestly, like, I need to give props to Rapid for actually being able to hold his own for that. Like, if I'm in his position, if I'm trying to get a defuse, and someone starts shooting at me, and then we're in that, like, that clutch or kick scenario, right? I don't know if I have, like, the nerve to just sit there and just go for the defuse. Like, I feel like I'd back off, look for cover, try and take that 1v1, then go for the defuse. But he just stood there. He had full faith in his ability to get that defuse off. It was great.
Yeah, you know, it just comes down to, like, extremely good, like, game knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Having the ability to just know what's going on around you 24/7, as if you have like eyes in the back of your head, like in a game,
spider
like
sense, RC,
pretty
like,
much.
Yeah, like literally, you have like Peter Parker's spider sense, like 24/7 going off. Like it's crazy, like keeping track of like every little ability going off, like who still has what, what's been used, how much time is left on the bomb too is an important thing.
Oh yeah, right? For sure. Well, it's in a game like Rainbow Six, it's almost a necessity, right? Like there's no other game where you can literally be shot from pretty much anywhere. Like
through the map, yeah. There's 3-4, you can get shot through a floor, through a ceiling, through a hatch, and through a wall and get one. And
exactly,
it zooms in 80 feet to a guy across the entire map with just one tap.
Like there's very few places where there's actually like true cover in Rainbow Six. Like you need to have so much awareness of everything. Like the tiniest, like just the difference between missing a footstep behind you or hearing that. That could like decide a game.
That's it, yeah. You blink and you're dead immediately. Yeah, and that's it, and then it moves on.
Yeah, and it shows you like just how high of a level our Rainbow Six players are. Like they're really good. A top 16 finish in CR6, it's a great accomplishment, and you know, something to be proud of. And hopefully we can see them keep it going in the other leagues they're in. So yeah.
Yeah. Then kicking things over to Call of Duty. Really good showing this week for our COD team, actually. You know, they're still going strong, still undefeated in both matches and maps.
Woo!
So yeah. It's been pretty crazy. They had a match against Utica College where they went 3-0 this week. And while the match, like the scoreline says 3-0, it's actually a lot closer, like in the actual game itself. Utica, it was actually 6-1 with St. Clair being 7-0 at the time. Ooh. So it's a really like kind of like top one and top two,
yeah.
Like really close matchup. St. Clair's players are just crazy. Like the first map on Checkmate, actually on Hardpoint, like the scoreline ended up being 250-157, right? So like a pretty close respectful set, like a little bit back and forth one way or another throughout the set is a completely different match. And especially like a player that I kind of like noticed watching through is Priestley. Like he was absolutely like shredding on that map.
He's been
like,
unbelievable so far.
Like he had like above 2.0 like KD that map. And one of the things that he's really good at, like especially on Checkmate Hardpoint, is denying the enemy team's rotations.
Yeah,
like you'll see like he'll be set up on either, well, it's an objective or some sort of off angle. And every single time the enemy team tries to rotate towards the next objective, he gets at least one or two picks.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane, like, how good he is at locking down these angles and just controlling the flow of the game.
Yeah, like, as good as, like, every single one of our players on the COD team are, like, I don't think it'd be unfair to say that Priestley could be considered, like, our star player, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, one of the best players in the country, for sure.
Yeah, like, He's very aggressive, and he has the skill to back it up.
Yeah.
So like he'll be running it down. He'll be finding picks left, right. Like there are some times when like you think, all right, St. Clair, they kind of have to push into a disadvantageous situation. How are they gonna be able to approach this? And all of a sudden, you see Priestley's lighting up the kill feed, finding two, and then boom! All of a sudden, it's just easy walk in for St. Clair.
And when you mix in someone who can lock and Hardpoint especially, it's a game where you have to be able to control the site and stop rotations. And if you have the ability to stop rotations as far as the wherewithal and where to be and the timing and positioning, and then also having the gun skill on top of it, you can completely shut down a team's game plan, even with one or two players. And like I said, someone as good as Priestley, if you got caught in the wrong spot, he's going to punish you and punish you over and over and over.
Yeah. Priestley is like one of those players who like he has that clutch factor, right? Yeah. Like even if like it seems like it's been a bit of a rough day for St. Clair, you know Priestley's going to turn up. You know he's going to do
there's big things. There's one big play coming at some point.
Exactly.
When is it coming, and yeah, who's going to be the recipient of it?
He's going to get a clip every game no matter what's going on. Yeah.
And then if you like moving over to like map 2 on standoff, which is SND, right? So like you died, like that's it. You're out for the round, right? Where in a game mode like that, I noticed that like even though Priestley, like I don't know if he was just having an off day or it's just his type of playstyle doesn't exactly fit in SND all too great.
Yeah.
But even when he's not performing on a map, then he has you can look over to the next player on St. Clair, which in that case was Brandon, where he was just taking on Priestley's shoes, having that 2+ KD ratio, locking down bomb sites like really, really strategically on their defense. And then when it came to their offense, like he was using the AR, always in the back, controlling that angle. Like he would watch over the bomb site so that way our player could go plant the bomb and not be peaked, right?
Yeah.
So having that kind of like coordination and like that extra player to back up onto. So even if one of our players isn't performing on the next day, like we have a roster full of stars.
Yeah, it just speaks to the trust level as well. If I'm going to come in and play, and I know Priestley or someone else, or Brandon is watching my backline, like you have to trust they're going to do their job. And say, more times than not, the players have shown up and done their job. So once you build that camaraderie and that chemistry, he's like, oh, he had my back. I know he'll be able to protect me here. We'll be able to make this play. Then you have more confidence in making aggressive pushes and making rash decisions.
Yeah. Well, it's like they say, like a team is only as strong as its weakest link. But our weakest link is so strong.
Yeah.
So there's no clear weakness that other teams can like use to exploit against St. Clair. And that just makes it like it makes ours so strong in these leagues, right?
I mean, no maps being dropped yet just says
that. Yeah, that's an insane accomplishment.
Not even just to go on a win streak, to not drop a map yet well over a month into the season is just outstanding. Like that's just it's perfection. It's literally what it is. They might slip up here and there, but their slip ups are we lost this point, we lost 25 points in hard point.
Do we
drop the map?
Do we think a golden season could be on the table here?
Definitely, definitely in the running. You don't want to get ahead of yourself and jinx anything. Anything can happen. You know, people have off days, but it's got to be something that they're definitely, it's in their head. People, the players and the coaches, they'll talk about like, oh, we're not chasing perfection. We're going to play as good as we can. But anyone who's been on a long undefeated streak, it's in the forefront of your mind. Yeah. Like, hey, we could have that O turn into a one at any time.
Yeah. And especially taking down a 6-1 team.
Yeah.
It's like 3-0, right? Like you're like, still
some of their biggest competition.
Their tallest
matchup.
Who
do you have left to play this season that's gonna put up as much of a fight as Utica did, right?
Yeah.
So, and especially in that 3-0 on back on standoff, St. Clair was down 5-3 in a 1-6 set on SND, and the clutch factor they had brought it back anyway.
They must have realized that 0 was slipping away on the map. Yeah, they're like, we can't let it go, boys.
No, like you got to appreciate just the mental determination. And like another thing, the fact that they're like not even getting cocky or slipping up.
Yeah.
Like so many times you see teams that like they have these really strong starts to the season. They like they don't drop any maps. They don't drop any points. But then they kind of get complacent. They are like, all right, we're just rolling. We'll do a little trolling, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
But it ends up biting them.
Yeah, that's right. And especially when you're chasing perfection, they might be like, guys, all business. Like this is they want.
Well, that's clearly what's happening.
Yeah, they're taking this as a full business trip the entire game so far.
No, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Like if they do get that golden season, like without dropping a single map the whole season, that'd be an insane accomplishment.
100%.
Like I don't even know if that's been done before. Like I know we've seen undefeated seasons where like they don't drop a game, but to not drop a map,
that's pretty crazy. Yeah. Especially like they're not just playing in one league either. Like they're in NACE and NJCAAE. Right? In both leagues, they're undefeated.
Yeah, all different competition, different players, different styles. Yeah, and it's still able to come out on top.
No, COD team doing really well. Definitely, like, if you're a fan of COD right now, they're one of the teams you have to keep an eye on in collegiate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And not even just St. Clair. This is one of the best collegiate teams in all of NA, like, period. This team is built for something special this year.
And I think we actually have an interview.
Yeah, so we're gonna go check out the interview with Dawson here, and let's see what he has to say about the COD team so far.
Hello, Coach Dawson. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You move in on to the season. You guys built a pretty ridiculous COD team here at St. Clair. How do you do that? How do you find these players?
Honestly, like, local recruitment has been our biggest thing recently. A lot of our players we found through, like, local channels, like, actually already being here on campus, which is kind of crazy. Like, we haven't really had to do any outside recruiting. On our roster, too, we have Nathan Corius NP Perot, who is from Hamilton. So he's really the only outside recruit that we have on our roster right now. Other than that, like, yeah, all of them are local. It's been good that we had tryouts last year. We had about, like, 25 people try out for the team. Majority of them were from right here in Ontario, at least, at the very least.
That's insane. How did you set up, how did you pick the players to know, like, chemistry, and how do you pick those, the players that you do have on the squad now?
Picking the players on the squad, I wouldn't say so much as chemistry. What I'm looking for is things like communication, gun skill, how their teamwork is, because the thing that matters most is, like, if you can communicate with someone as an individual, like, on a team where you don't know them yet, that's something you want to be seeing something out of someone, because you want to have those IGLs, those in-game leaders who are going to really try and lead the team no matter what they're doing. Because, yeah, chemistry, you're not going to see it in, like, a tryout where you're just running eights with everyone. Because a lot of people, especially out of those, like, 25 people we had, like, they don't know each other, right? So we maybe have, like, one or two people who have, like, duoed before and whatnot. They might have some comms together, and I know that, and I just got to take note of that, that those two people might be comming back and forth. But their communication with the rest of the team, like, their third and their fourth on the team, if it's not that good, we need to fix that up, right? You can't have someone that's just going to be quiet all the time on the roster.
Absolutely. And also, you guys are 6-0, undefeated, haven't dropped the map in NACE. And how much does that add pressure to you moving on and further into the season, deeper on?
A little bit, yes and no. We want to stay afloat. Like, we want to stay up top. Obviously, we're sitting number one on the coaches' poll right now. It's been good. Like, it feels good. But at the same time, I don't really care. If we're in the top 10 list, we're in the top 10 list. That's what I care about. I could care less if we drop to second place, we drop to third place. As long as we're in the list, I don't really care. I'm not going to complain, because I know we can compete with every single team on that list.
Yeah, and also, do you think that an undefeated season is... are you guys able to do that?
I think it's possible. In NACE, it's definitely possible. As long as we start off our maps hot, which I feel like we sometimes, like, we start off a little slow. If we let a map get away from us, we just got to make sure we regain in that map too. I have no ails or anything about our map three performances. Our controls are on lock right now. We've been playing incredible in them in scrims as well as in matches. A lot of 3-1s, a lot of 3-0s. And I wouldn't be worried about, even if we went down 0-2 in a series. I know we're bringing back that control, and we're going to start that reverse sweep.
And one more thing, how do you guys prepare for a match? Well, what's your pregame? What do you guys do for pregame?
Pregame, I mean, we usually do vetoes ahead of the match. So, like, we would know within 30 minutes or so of the match starting what maps we're going to be playing. We might run over some strats really quick. Everyone warms up with some bots, starts shooting, make sure they're playing well and doing what they're doing.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your time.
So yeah, that was a pretty insightful interview with Dawson, honestly. Now, something that really stood out to me is the fact that he said that a lot of this talent is actually local. And I think that actually is really interesting, because what is a common theme in a lot of the top teams they see is they get their talent by, like, recruiting from across NA, basically, yeah. Right? And the fact that we're able to get so much talent just from, like, here, from our own province, from here in Windsor, that's, like, really incredible, honestly.
And it's awesome to see. Like I said, like, it's one thing, you can't knock any schools for trying to pay to get pro players, because, you know, you say you want to pay to win. If you want to be competitive and win at the highest level, yeah, you're going to have to shell out some money.
Absolutely.
But just to have organic growth and to watch the program and the team and the recruitment just grow over the last year, and just, yeah, say able to build everything in-house and try. And when you build everything in-house, you're going to, all you do is you draw in more recruitment, and you have a good foundational piece for the rest. Mm-hmm. People come here and they say, oh, these guys built this from the ground up, and they were able to make a contender and a very competitive team. They have every other incentive to join, especially if they're already local.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you think about where the COD team came from. Right, yeah, like, you go back, like, 2 years ago, the COD team didn't exist.
Yeah,
the only reason we have a COD team now is because those players, like the original players, got together, created a club team, and started winning games.
Yeah.
And after like showing that, hey, this is the thing, this works, that now they're on varsity.
Right? Yeah, and that's not only on varsity, playing at the highest level now. So yeah. Like, they had a good idea. They thought they had the chemistry, and then obviously the talent, plenty of talent for us to pick from.
Yeah, it's really like an underdog story. Yeah, like, these kids just coming around from Canada, coming from the local area, and like just being able to take it to the top dogs. It's great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next game, which is Valorant, I believe.
Yes, sir. All right, Valorant played a couple matches. Unfortunately, they go 1-1, so let's keep it even.
Keep it even.
The one match that was streamed, though, versus Butler Blue, where they win 2-0.
Nice.
Actually, really dominant win from St. Clair. Like every single player, whether it's JRC, whether it's Casper... like everyone is just popping off, like, and both the score lines reflect that. Like the first map is 13-4,
Oof.
Right? The second match, while B, it ended up being a 13-10, which sounds close, mm-hmm. but St. Clair was actually up 12-3.
Oh,
and
man,
they choked a little bit. Maybe they did a little bit of trolling, like. You can't really tell. Like, we obviously don't have the comms to know what they're talking about.
For sure.
But something happens. They dropped a couple rounds. And honestly, like, after watching it, like, I went and looked back at it. Like, looking at Butler Blue's players, two in specific, Icy and Deathless.
Mm-hmm.
Actually insane plays, two of them on defense. We saw Icy come out with, like, an assortment of things, whether he's using a Vandal, whether he's using a Spectre. His mechanics, his positioning is just, he's clearly like their kind of star player.
Yeah.
Like really hard carrying the defense, especially when like on a defensive sided map like Icebox and Deathless pulling out a Judge of all things.
That Judge right? can be used horrifically in certain situations.
Yeah. Especially in this case, he played like really smart though. Like he was always rotating to whatever site he needed to be. Like, normally you see him start on A, he hears the call for B, he rotates B, like, the second he hears it.
Yeah.
And he's already, like, by the time St. Clair is, like, ready to push, he's already in a spot around a corner that's, like, a really tight space where he's just going to shred the...
A short corner Judge is one of the most effective weapons in all of that. Because it's there's literally nothing you can do. You turn the corner, dead. Yeah. And you get that full spray with the recoil pattern. The first two or three shots out of the Judge are still pretty accurate. When you get into the fourth and the fifth, it starts to spread out more. But those first three to four shots out of that Judge, you can just hit the sweet spot every time if you know what you're doing with it.
Ask any Valorant player, and I'm sure they'll be able to give you some very key words about their thoughts on the Judge.
They have some interesting ideas.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah. But that being said, though, St. Clair's players, JRC got an ace on that same map.
Yeah.
Like, he pulled out round two with a Bulldog. Pulled out an ace just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Bulldog
lit everybody up as they walked on.
Bulldog's a little bit of a different pick, dude. It's still a very solid rifle, but typically a Bulldog is kind of that midway buy. Not as much of a like, Vandal.
You don't really see much in the meta, right?
Yeah, like, no, the Bulldog, yeah, say it's good for really long range. The hip fire is obviously decent on it. The long range, you get that burst fire, but it's almost always people are going to buy the Spectre and go half buy with the SMG, or they're going to full buy a rifle or go something maybe like the Guardian, so you get at least that one tap capability. The Bulldog's kind of in a weird spot where it's a little bit of a tweener.
That might be where it has its advantage. He could be picking it based on the fact that he knows it's going to be like kind of unexpected, so it kind of gives him that advantage in the matchup.
Mm-hmm. And then like looking at VCAN, like this dude with the Spectre is unstoppable. This like it's crazy to see, because like he just runs around the map and just sprays everybody down, and I'm just sitting there watching and I'm just like, what is happening?
It's the run and gun style, you know.
And with the way the way Valorant is sometimes, you can get some pretty good RNG with that spray and pray as you're running around. Yeah. So if you have that going for you, it's very hard to stop them. Let's say you just come running around every corner, that Spectre just hip firing all 30 bullets into someone's head, and you only need two or three to get a kill.
I think it shows a lot of confidence in their ability as players. Like if you think that like you are the better player, that you can like consistently win the 1v1s, win the aim duels, then there's no reason why you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, because first of all, You're playing in a way that they're not going to be expecting. Like, they don't, like, typically running it down mid is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So a team's not going to be like, all right, they're going to be running it down mid, so we definitely got to be watching these angles. So when you catch them off guard like that, then all you need to do is just be mechanically better.
Yeah.
And he is mechanically better, so he just wins that, right?
Yeah. But even then, like, gunplay aside, like just their brains and their like knowledge on like how to use their abilities is insane. Like on a for example, on their defense on the B site, there's a very like typical play when you're running a Sage where you'll throw up a wall and plant the bomb on the other side of it, so that way they have to either wrap around or have to try to like
force them into the wall, line of sight. Right? Yeah.
St. Clair is just like, you know what? We have a Sage wall of our own. We're gonna spray down one of the pillars of the Sage wall and throw up our own Sage wall on the other side.
Make
and just
a T wall. Yeah, yeah, make a T wall. Right? Yeah, you can say you can counter make the T wall on next to the boxes and can sneak in and defuse.
It was really funny to watch because it's just like. The wall goes up and he's defusing, and the entirety of Butler Blue is just sitting there, just like, wait,
what?
You weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, that's an attack. It's awesome to see. It's nice to see how St. Clair let us slip away a little bit. Valorant's one of those games where, if you start to troll a little bit, maybe you have a jet trying to throw some flashy knives, or you have someone trying to, because it's a game where the mechanical skill, you can overtake the abilities. You can run up, and if you have better aim, you can one-tap two people.
Yeah.
But also, it's a game that you do have an ecosystem, and you do have to buy and make purchases. And if you lose 2 to 3 rounds in a row, you cannot keep full buying rifles every round. Yeah. So once you lose 2 or 3 rounds, you have to almost concede a couple rounds. You're forced
into the eco push.
Yeah, and Valorant, momentum is the biggest thing in the game. Like, once you lose 4 to 5 rounds, and you start to feel it slip, and the other team has full rifles and full armor, if they have any ultimates online, like, you're really playing with fire. But St. Clair, I think they finally woke up and sat there like, okay, let's end these guys. We've been playing way too long. And they finally turned on the gas and put them out.
Yeah, for 100%. Sure.
But overall, really good showing from our Valorant team over this week. They're definitely improving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their team coordination is definitely looking a lot better now. Like we're seeing like full team rotates. We're seeing like really nicely executed like pinches. Whereas like if you look back, like maybe towards the start of the semester, like it was a lot more loose, a lot more individual plays.
I think the best way to put it is like at the start of the semester they were a diamond in the rough. Now the diamond has been taken out, it's been cut, and we're at the point where it's just polishing that diamond and really just getting it up to the point where like this is a top level team. 100%. And they definitely have the potential to do that.
Oh, for sure. And Valorant is in its infancy. It's a baby as far as games because they're still adding. They're still just starting to add agents and maps, so the meta is going to be ever changing. So it's going to be on top of them to make sure that they make the right adjustments and see if the guns get changed or see what characters get reworked or anything like that. Because the game is still so young. There's rides for sure to make hundreds of different changes.
Just this week, I think a new character got announced, right?
Yeah, they've had delays with the agents.
Talking a bit with the Valorant players, apparently it's going to like really shake up the meta from what I'm hearing, so it'll be interesting to see how they adapt to that.
See the game in a weird spot.
All right. Well, I think we're going to move over to Overwatch now.
Yes, and this is the game, of course, that is very dear to myself and Bailable here. So it was a bit of a slower week. Overwatch did have a bye on their Monday game, and that went into... I believe that was Nace. Yes. Yeah. So it was a buy-in Nace. So uneventful, of course. But then Thursday, we ended up having a game against Waldorf University in NECC. Waldorf is a very strong team. Well, pretty much every team that we play against in NECC is going to be very strong because we are in the Legends division, the top division there. So, you know, we're playing against the best of the best. We did end up losing that game 0-3. But there were some good moments that match. I think
we did play pretty well.
Yeah,
there's definitely things we could have done better and that we're gonna work on
for sure.
I think this is again like another match where the scoreline doesn't exactly tell like a pretty good story.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The first, maybe not the last map, but the first two maps, 100% on especially on Ilios.
Ilios was
really
very good.
Close. Yeah. Like it was a 2-1 ending. Like we had a couple like 199 points.
Yeah, Waldorf ended. Waldorf took the first point, but St. Clair we did manage to bring it back there on second point. There on well, we had some good mid match adaptation there, but unfortunately Waldorf kind of came back with their own adaptation to our adaptation there on the third point, and so they ended up taking the first map and kind of. Didn't really go downhill, but I would say they kind of like figured out their groove at that point.
Yeah,
and they kept the momentum going, but you know, stuff to improve on, stuff we did well, solid match overall. It's important to consider, of course, that you know, team did just undergo a big change. We did have a midseason retirement, so a lot of things are still like we're still reintegrating, relearning some stuff, sort of figuring out a new play style almost. with our new roster, but nothing to be ashamed of, I'd say.
No,
still solid stuff.
Just normal. Say when you lose a key member of your roster like that, right, like mid season, like that's going to be a huge blow to any team, even the best teams in the world.
It's definitely a shakeup.
It changes your chemistry, changes your makeup, what ideas you have, how you know the back, you know exactly how someone might play, and then someone else steps in, and you have to read them or learn how to read them, and have, especially in a game like Overwatch, where you have to do such, everything is so team focused, you really need to make sure everyone knows what each other's doing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then, honestly, I would say that's what this match came down to. Like, as a player, I can talk about like what it felt like, and it being in the game there, it really felt like it was like just like who could adapt to the adaptations better. Like Eichenwald on the attack there, they were holding us for like 2 minutes, but then we kind of figured out, okay, this is what they're doing, this is what we wanted to do to beat that. We started like getting some really coordinated dives and stuff going with the ball, with the Tracer, and we ended up opening up that first point. We ended up taking the second point pretty much the same way, but then Waldorf came back, they figured out how to adapt to what we were doing at that point, and then they ended up holding, and it was basically the same on defense. You know, we started holding them for a little bit, but then they just adapted quickly and they started beating us there. So it really just came down to, like, you know, they were adapting faster, and I think a large part of that is because, like, you know, they've been together as a team for the whole season. They haven't had any of like the changes that we have. Like, they haven't had the same struggle, I'll say.
Yeah. And
not to make excuses or anything, right? But
and especially in NECC, you know, like when you're playing in that top division, like we are, like in the Legends division, taking a loss is nothing to be sad about.
Yeah.
You know, you are playing against like the top teams. And it's not like in, let's say, like the Activision Blizzard tournament, which we did play in a little bit at the start of the semester. Unfortunately, did have to drop out of that due to our midseason retirement. But in the Activision Blizzard League, like, you could play against anybody.
Sure.
Right? You could play against some random club team that just is in this for fun and, like, it's an easy game for us. Or we could play against, like, the Northwoods or Maryvilles of the world and just kind of get clapped back, right?
Well, what it boils down to is basically you'd rather see a close loss against a really good team than just like a stomp against nobody.
Yeah, sure. Iron sharpens iron. The only way to get better is putting yourself in tough positions and playing the better teams. Like, so you're not, you just have to put yourself in those positions. You can't just run through everybody and then think, well, you have to run into some adversity at some point. Every team will, whether it's on a map or a game, you might not even lose the match, but you have to run into some adversity and have some turmoil to find out what you guys are really made of and find out your true colors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can learn a lot more from a loss than we can from a victory. Yeah. So Overwatch team will definitely be looking to come back stronger in the weeks to come.
100%. Alrighty. I think we're going to be moving over to League of Legends now.
League of Legends. Okay, this week, everybody, if you missed League of Legends VOD on the Saints Gaming Twitch channel, you have to go back and watch. And I'll tell you why. One, it wasn't a super long one, and I'll get into it in 1 second. The Saints, they were 4-1 going into the match. A win would put them in the NayStar League playoffs. They played against the Western Legends. They ended up actually 2-0-ing them, but the way they got to the 2-0 was super interesting. Match one, St. Clair pretty much, game started, they pretty much said, we're going to put our foot on the gas and we're going to dominate these guys. Pretty much wire to wire, they just pushed them out of lane, dominated the jungle, were able to steal buffs, and they were able to get, in League of Legends, the earliest you can forfeit a match is at 15 minutes, and at 18 minutes, Western Legends decided no moss. You just see a bunch of summoners disconnected. St. Clair St. Clair ran them out of the rifts completely, just absolutely dominated everything.
Yeah,
like 90 and say and almost all the time in League, when you start to snowball early, and the way St. Clair was playing, like, Western just knew, like, we can stay in here for 30 more minutes and try to scale on these guys, or we can just get out of here, get into map two, and we can see what we can do with that, because St. Clair was just absolutely dominant. We had E-Hug playing as Viego. He led the way with a 6-kill, 1-death and 10 assist stat line, which doesn't seem super crazy, but for League of Legends, in only 18 minutes to get 6 kills, 1 death, and 10 assists, that's absolute domination.
6 kills in a game of League, like, assuming, like, you know, a normal game is about, like, 20, 25 kills that's getting to, like, just hard carry levels, right?
Yeah, I'd say in 18 minutes, 6 kills and 10 assists, like, that means you guys were on the ball, team fighting the entire time, and he was, like, just constantly there to get the finishing blows.
Yeah.
St. Clair ended up finishing the match, leading it 22-6 in kills and having a 7,000 gold advantage, which, if you're not sure exactly what that means they had a lot more mythic and legendary items, which means a lot more damage, a lot more healing, and a lot more tank armor. Like, when you get to that point where you're just getting stomped so bad in kills, St. Clair just put the foot on the neck and they did not let them breathe until they were eventually out of the lobby.
Yeah.
The second game, however, little bit of a different story at the start. St. Clair and Western, a lot of times teams will poke each other in the middle of the jungle. They'll fight in the river. They might mess around a little bit. You won't always see a massive team fight. You won't even always see a kill out of it. Western Legends was able to ace St. Clair right when the match started, completely take them out and take an early lead, able to start getting pressure on the lanes. And then St. Clair just said, okay, guys, like that was funny. We had that little team fight in the beginning. Like now we're going to turn it on these guys. In Western, they let it out. I think they started with a 7-0 kill advantage. And say in League, in the first like 5 minutes, as we saw in the St. Clair match, if you start to scale those kills early, you get those legendary items going really early in the lanes.
Yeah.
You can start to just bully people, especially absolutely. If you know what you're doing and you have the team combo. You can just start to absolutely push people around.
Yeah. Oh, definitely good stuff to see. And, you know, you gotta give, in a strange way almost, you got to give a bit of respect to Western for just realizing that, like, yeah, we're clearly being outclassed here. Let's just, like, you know, we'll forfeit this and we'll look to see, like, what we can improve on. Like, I think that's kind of respectable. And I think it's a good strategy almost. Like, a lot of teams you would probably see just, like, you know, just stay in there, get rolled, and that'd be the end of it pretty much.
And let's say we do, a lot of people joke the League mentality or the toxicity. I'm
yeah.
Sure if your mental is chalked going into the second match of best of three in League, like, that is the one game where if you guys are chalked or if you're having any issues, whether it's comms or you're just having like not playing up to standard, like that's a game where you can get really at it, especially right if it's the 15-minute mark and you're like, we literally are going to have to play this to like 50 minutes to win because there's no other path to victory because yeah. You're going to have to start scaling. You have to play for end game at that point. Mm-hmm. You just go, okay, we just need to reset, try to get focused. And say they started off with a great reset against St. Clair in the second game, but ultimately St. Clair able... Like once Western had that big lead and they were able to get up to like a 12-4 kill lead, St. Clair just started to claw their way back piece by piece, getting double kills, stealing Baron, trying to get the buffs. And Zephyrot playing Syndra went 10-1-7, say 10 kills, 7 assists, able to lead the way, getting a bunch of clutch shutdowns. St. Clair was able to actually not even just start performing well. They were able to turn the tides completely on Western. And by the 28-minute mark, all the turrets destroyed on the front two lines. They were starting to push into the base, and Western Legends once again just said, nah, we're done. And yeah. Another forfeit for St. Clair. So even through all the adversity, St. Clair able to pick up two forfeits and move on to the next playoffs.
While I respect Western like trying to like maybe throw St. Clair off or try like they did something like that's usually a bit like unheard of.
Yeah, it's
right?
A bit cheeky. Yeah, yeah. You won't always have a full fight, but Western, once you have that health, they went for
that forfeit, and it worked a little bit in the beginning, and they got that lead on St. Clair. But it's really where you see the difference. When St. Clair was down, they didn't give up.
Yeah.
They didn't say like, oh man, it's going to be really hard to come back for this. They played their game. They came back. They won in another dominant fashion. Like St. Clair, they're not quitters.
Oh no.
Right? Like they fought for it tooth and nail and it paid off. They didn't take that forfeit, which clearly Western would have done, right? And it paid off for them. And that's like, that really shows the difference between like, just how good our mental is.
Yeah, and that's it. In the game, especially after you dominate game one, to say St. Clair, they obviously weren't feeling good when they started off down 6-0 in game two, but they had to be saying, okay, like, we can turn this on. You're like, obviously we screwed around a bit. Like we maybe got too aggressive. Yeah. They got a nice little clip. We gave them a nice little moment, but then they're like, okay, now we're going to actually start playing our game. We're going to play the lanes properly. We're going to try to get ganks when we can, try to steal the buffs. And they put on their game plan, and then it started to look exactly like game one in the second half of game two, and they just put it on them and absolutely
see, who knows, maybe the lead team was just doing that because game one was so short. They were trying to give us a bit of extra content.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we'll give you guys a little bit so we can play for the end game.
We'll give them the handicap.
Yeah, we'll give them a little bit here. Yeah, the boys must have felt bad for them. It's like, we'll give you guys a little here, but we're going to come back and take it now. Yeah, it's game over.
Gotta love our league team, eh?
Yeah.
Right. So, moving on to our last game, we've Rocket League.
Alrighty, so Rocket League this week, our St. Clair Green team actually played in the CRL Open Qualifier 1, so their first chance to getting into the CRL after missing out earlier.
Trying to get up there with our gold team.
Yeah. Top of the top.
Oh yeah.
The gold team is eagerly waiting for them to make it.
Yeah.
They're almost there. So our green team ended up going 5-2 during the qualifier. So since it is a double elimination bracket, obviously that, you're done. But they were actually, if they would have won that last game, they were one extra win away from making top eight and qualifying for CRL.
They did by that much.
I know they needed it so bad.
And you know, it's nothing against like the green players. It was a really long day for them.
Yeah.
Out of the 7 games they played, 6 of them went to game 3.
Oh.
Like, it's just back-to-back-to-back. Like, every single match has just been a grind.
That's the thing with these qualifiers, right? It's not just about how good you are. It's about how long you can keep that focus up, how long you can play at your maximum potential. Yeah. Like, it's an endurance challenge just as much as it is a skill challenge.
Oh, yeah.
And like, watching those matches, like, I can definitely tell that our St. Clair Green team is, like, right there. Like, a couple, like, fix a couple mistakes here and there, and they're already competing against, like, some of the teams that qualified in that qualifier, they played against, and it was really close.
Yeah.
So, like, it's nothing that they can't do.
Yeah, for sure, right? For sure.
And obviously, like, the coordination of Kamal, Nitrix, and Ramen is starting to build, like, especially on their defense. Their defense is really strong. Like, but whenever, especially after they're a goal up, like, they kind of, like, chill a little bit, you know? They take a second. They know that they're ahead, especially if they get, like, more than one up. Like, they play their defensive game. That's what they're good at. That's what they're going to play.
They stabilize, get the ball back in their court, right? Yeah.
And especially, there's, like, a really sick clip of Ramen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so hard to put into words around it. The ball is like somehow the ball is just slowly like dribbling like towards the net like the slowest I've ever seen the ball go
in slow motion in real time.
Like it's like starting to cross into the net and you see I think it's Lucky on the opposite side coming in like for the ball like 0.1 seconds away from just nailing it into the net. And Ramen just comes out of nowhere and gets just this massive demo and is just managed to tip it back out. Like, as I was watching that, I was just like stopping because like St. Clair was only up by one. They were in that set, they were down a game, right? So they can't lose one. They have to win two in a row, which honestly was the story of that day. Like, there was a lot of games during that day where they were down a set and they had to win two in a row to come back. It just plays like that, just lightning just keep coming up like again and again and again.
Like watching that moment you're talking about, I remember the ball was like halfway into the net.
It was doing it was like Rocket League. It was flashing white and gray, which means it's like this thing it kiss it and it's going in the net. We have a tie game. It just wanted to go in low on it so bad. Just little tap and it goes in and just St. Clair able to just clear it with the stroke of luck.
It's the clutch factor, right? That's what we talk about. We see from so many of these St. Clair teams that like that in those moments where it's like do or die, they manage to find exactly what they need to do and they manage to pull it out.
Yeah, the mental fortitude of all of our teams, I'll say obviously the talent and the mechanics are there, but just the ability to have the mental fortitude and the strength to just be in those situations or see that happening in real time. You know, they all had to be panicked to everything. Like, oh my God, it's right there. Like,
Dude, the communications in that moment, it must have been, it was either complete silence with everyone just like
holding their breath.
Oh my gosh, I hope this doesn't happen. Or it's just sheer panic with everyone screaming, please save the ball. Someone able to save that.
We need to get this one.
Yeah.
100%. And like going off of like what you said like about their mechanics, like they're all like so talented.
Yeah.
Like Yao, like we have two teams. We have like the main roster, St. Clair Gold, who is obviously already in CRL, like super good team. St. Clair Green, I don't think a lot of those players are that far behind.
No,
like
super slept on.
Like you may say, one's may be better than the other one day, one might be better than the other day, right? Like we've seen them go up against each other before in different tournaments and they're not like pub stomps. Right?
Well, and I've like from what I hear, like they practice against each other all the time doing scrims and stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's got to be like a perk that St. Clair has.
Oh, absolutely.
Schools, right? Like having those two teams, like not having to play against like maybe your opposition.
Especially if I'm
get
green.
A chance to like read you.
You can practice whatever strats you want without having to worry about leaking anything. And you know, it's always going to be a good practice. Like you're not going to be practicing against a bad team that you're just going to roll over and learn nothing from. You're always going to be able to learn something from that practice, right?
Especially if I'm green and I haven't made it into the CRL yet and I want to fix one or two things. I think scrimming against the gold team is the perfect team they could have.
For sure.
You have someone that has the experience, they're in the league, and they might have been the ones to make a few of the same mistakes before they made it into CRL themselves. They might be able to help you guys correct and move forward. Say, because they're right on the precipice. They're so close. One or two things get fixed and they can easily make it into the CRL as well.
It's like you said, right? They were like one game away from making it, right?
Yeah.
And so at this point, like the Rocket League team, Rocket League Green, they know what they need to do. They know how close they are. They just need to focus. They just need to reach out and grab it, basically.
Yeah.
No. It's within their reach. It's just a matter of
taking
it.
Just gotta take it.
Yeah. So, really close stuff. Really good stuff.
Then looking over at non-CRL qualifiers, both Saints Gold and Saints Green played in NACE and NECC, and they won both of their games in
as,
each of the things.
As so, expected.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Our gold team is very good. It takes some very good competition.
Yeah, it takes competition to put up a fight against them. Yeah.
Like obviously the games in CRL for our gold team, they're a bit closer, but that's because CRL, you know, that's where you see the best of the best.
Those are the best teams in the world playing against each other. Yeah.
If you want the best of Collegiate Rock League, it's CRL.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
No.
And so it's a great accomplishment for St. Clair to have our gold team in there representing the school. On what's pretty much the world stage for rugby.
Oh yeah, best team, yeah. The best collegiate teams in the world are there in CRL. Yeah,
it's also something like so unique within like esports. Like that is like treated as like the main stage.
Yeah.
Like aside from maybe like world championships.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially since it's backed by the developers.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you don't often see that in a lot of esports. Like yeah, there might be like some like developer push here or there. Like maybe they have like some control, but they're not usually the ones running it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So it's always really cool to see, and I think that's honestly why like Rocket League is where it is right now, where it is, I'd say the biggest collegiate esport.
Oh,
like, as is right
yeah.
now.
Like, if not, yeah, top one or two.
It's hard to argue against that.
Easy to digest, easy to watch, but super hard to master. That's why it's so impressive with some of the skills the guys can do. You think it's such a simple game, and then you watch and you're like, I didn't even know half of this was possible, especially at the highest level in CRL.
Yeah, no, really good. Like I think it was a great week overall here for Saints. You know. Most of the teams they went at least even, like even the Overwatch team because of that bye, still even, right? So you know,
we had some strong showing, some things to improve on. It's a little mixed bag, but yeah, it's a certain teams.
Yeah.
A lot of strong showing, stuff to improve on,
but solid overall.
Yeah,
really, there's nothing you can really complain about.
No, yeah, right? Even in the matches we might have lost, there was great moments. There was great moments, great mic'd up site. Like there was awesome stuff to find in every single match that happened this week.
100%.
All right, so looking forward, we do have a bunch of games going on this next week as well. We have games going on every week here at Saints Gaming. So on Sunday, we will have Rocket League Green in the CCA Open Qualifiers. Of course, they're going to be trying again. Like I said, they're right there. Maybe this time they'll be able to do it. So definitely be sure to tune in if you can to check that out. You know, if they do make it, you're going to want to be there to watch it,
yeah,
right?
The Rocket League teams are can't miss.
Yeah.
Like you want to catch as much of these games as you can.
Yeah. Then on Monday, we have Valorant team in NECC. They're going to be playing against Southern New Hampshire, and it should be a good match. We'll see if Valorant team will be able to pull out another stomp. Maybe it would be a close match. We'll have to see. Then on Tuesday, we have our league team who will be playing in NACE.
Yeah, this is their first game of the playoffs. They're playing against Bing at 7 p.m. It's a league team building off the last win to get into the playoffs. Now the playoffs have started. So look for these guys to come out with their heads on fire and playing no games this time.
Yeah.
I would not expect to see them get wiped out in the beginning of the game again this time.
Absolutely.
There will be no punches pulled for these next matches.
You know, just making it to playoffs in the first place shows how good they are. And now we're going to see just what they can do against all these other top teams. Looking here on Wednesday, we have our Call of Duty team playing in NACE versus University of New Hampshire, and that'll be a great game as always. Yep. COD team always gives us great games. You know, they're such 100%. A dominant force out there on the field.
Especially like obviously you want to go watch that, see if our COD team can continue their dominance.
For sure, yeah.
You know,
get that golden season.
See how far this undefeated streak.
Yeah, nothing builds tension
right?
like an undefeated streak in sports. Just knowing if that zero going to flip or are they going to keep going. There's nothing like it in sports or esports.
Yeah, for sure. Going on to Thursday, Overwatch team will be playing in NECC versus UCSC Slugs. It's a brilliant team name. The Slugs versus
awesome
the Saints.
Name.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a pretty close one, I'd say.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a tough match. Slugs are a very good team. They've had a bit of an unfortunate season in NECC, Slugs going up against really tough opponents. So they don't have the greatest record, but don't let that record fool you. They are a good team, and it'll be a tough match for Saints, but 100%. I believe we can have a great showing.
And again, it is still Legends Division.
Absolutely,
right?
So, yeah, yeah.
Again, like any NECC game, you can never count on any team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's like right. In the competition level across all these leagues and all these teams, this is some of the highest level of competition. So let's say the results may not always show exactly what you want to see the story, but these guys are playing at the highest level of each one of these leagues.
Yeah. And then on Friday, we have our league team playing again versus Fanshawe in NECC this time. Of course, games against Fanshawe are always fun. We do consider them to be our rivals a bit. You know, we both have the bird mascots. We're both from around the same area. So it'll definitely be a match to keep an eye on if you're a fan of that Fanshawe-St. Clair rivalry that we have here.
And the Saints are going to be looking to move to 4-1. They're in the Champions Yellow Division for NECC. And if they win, they could potentially jump into a tie for first with another undefeated team. They need another team to lose. And if they are able to win, they have a chance to grab the number one spot in the division.
Yeah, and that'd be huge going into the NECC playoff, right?
For sure.
Just for seeding purposes and all that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, definitely a lot of great games to keep an eye on. And if you want to make sure that you catch all of these, make sure you check out Saints Gaming on Twitter or follow them on Twitch or YouTube, where you'll be able to get notifications for when they go live, as well as updates on specific times and stuff on the day of the match. You know, the best place to keep track of all that is on the official channels. If you can't keep track of all that, though, then make sure you tune into Bird's Eye View. We'll be back here next week with everything that's been happening. And we'll make sure to keep you guys updated. Any parting words from you guys?
Just hopefully a strong week of games coming up for the Saints. Super happy to be able to recap everything for you guys and just looking forward to some awesome matches coming up in the future from this school.
Sure.
100%. And yeah, thanks for coming, everybody.
Yeah.
I hope you all have a good day.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week. See ya.